Hi, you're listening to a podcast brought to you by the teaching team at New Life in North Lincolnshire. New Life is committed to helping transform people and transform places through the love and power of Jesus Christ. We hope you, in some small way, will be blessed and transformed by this message. Good morning. It is lovely to see you all today. Really lovely to see you. Happy Mother's Day for all the ladies in the house. I love how in church we don't just celebrate mums, but we celebrate all women. And it's been International Women's Day this week, so come on up the women. So if you are over 18 years of old and you're a female, then we have a little gift for you on the way out today. Please don't go without it. It's our small token of saying we love you and appreciate you as women, the role that you play, not only in New Life, but in your homes, your families, your communities, and basically, we love you. Have you ever felt really alone, like nobody's there for you? Do you know who's always there for you? Laundry. Jesus. Oh, who said Jesus? We get that. Come on, Dom, we're in church. Laundry is always there for you. Do you know, parenting was so much easier when I was parenting my non-existent child, hypothetically. Do you get what I'm saying? A lot easier than when the real ones actually came along. I've heard it said that parenting is trying to fit your whole adult life into a two-hour block once the kids are in bed. You cram and you get everything done in that space. I'm sure every time I say no to my kids, what they hear is, ask again, she didn't understand the question. It's said that silence is golden, unless you have a toddler, and then it's suspicious. Definitely. Or puppy, I'd say. I'd say a toddler or puppy, same kind of thing. If the silence is a little bit suspicious. And I wonder if you've ever had a job where you've had no experience, no training, you weren't allowed to quit, and people's lives were at stake. Welcome to parenting, everybody. That's what it's about. No training, no experience, and you cannot quit. Why don't you turn your eyes to the screen for me and just watch this video?
Here's your clothes and your shoes, hear the words I said, get up now! Get up and make your bed, are you hot, are you cold, are you wearing that? Where's your books and your lunch and your homework, and grab your coat and your gloves and your scarf and hat? Don't forget, you gotta feed the cat, eat breakfast, dance words, tell us it's the most important meal of all. Take vitamins so you will grow up one day to be big and tall. Please remember the orthodontist will be seeing you as me today. Don't forget your piano lesson is this afternoon, so you must play, don't shovel. Chew slowly, but hurry, the bus is here, be careful. Come back here, didn't you wash your put aside, don't play rough, would you just play fair? Be polite, make a friend, don't forget to share. Working out each term, never take a dare. Get along, don't make me come down there. Clean your room, wash your clothes, put your stuff away. Make your bed, do it now, do we have all day? Were you born in a barn, would you like some hay? Can you hear a word I say? Answer the phone, get off the phone. Don't sit so close, turn it down. No texting at the table. No more computer time tonight. Your iPod's my iPod, if you don't listen up. Close your mouth when you chew, would appreciate. Take a bite, maybe chew on the stuff you hate. Use your fork, do not burp, or I'll set you straight. Eat the food I put upon your plate. Get an A, get the door, don't go smart with me. Get a grip, get in here, I'll have the free. Get a job, get a life, get a PhD, get a dose. I don't care who started it, you're grounded until you're 36. Get your story straight and tell the truth for once, for heaven's sake. And if all your friends jumped off a cliff, would you jump too? Talking, stand up straighter when you walk a place.
all the mamas in the house. I apologize, the quality of the video is a little bit blurry. It's the only one I could find with the lyrics on. And she goes so fast, it's a little bit hard to pick up. There we are. You'd be a bit out of breath, wouldn't you, if you'd have performed that. Back at the end of February, when Pastor Russ had just wrapped up the final part of his three-part series, he said something, and it really kind of resonated with me, because he said, it feels like we're in a bit of a lull at the minute, because we know that new is coming, and obviously the next three Sundays are all significant Sundays. Next Sunday is Pastor Russ and Pastor Sarah's final service with us. It's their farewell service. The one after is the commissioning, and then it's Easter, and it's all this new coming, and we're kind of here now, almost waiting. And he spoke, if you remember, if you were here, and if you weren't here on that particular one, I definitely recommend listening to it on podcast, that a key change is coming. Remember, he spoke about how the song doesn't change, but a key change just lifts the song and makes it feels different. And so I was struggling a little bit with what do I preach about today on this kind of this one-off. It is Mother's Day, but I wasn't too sure I wanted to kind of speak on that particularly. Obviously, again, before that, myself and Mark and our kids were interviewed and had loads of great feedback from that. You all enjoyed finding out a little bit more about us, some of the stuff we've got to in our past. So it feels that you know us a little bit more, but I've got this time to preach. What should I preach on? And I felt that it might be quite helpful for me to unpack just a little bit more of some of the stuff that really matters to me, because you're obviously going to be hearing a lot more about me in the future, seeing a lot more of me. So it might be helpful as a church to know what kind of stuff matters to me. So that's what we're going to do today. Not for very long, because Russ has put the chicken in the oven. He doesn't want to let it burn. So first thing, he didn't even say good morning. He's like, I've just put the chicken in the oven. I'm like, okay then, we all come around for lunch today. So what matters to me? First thing you need to know, a little bit lighter, but my family matters to me. I do have an amazing husband, Mark, who makes me look a lot better than I am. I often say to him, everybody needs a Mark in their life, because he knocks rough edges off me, and he challenges me on stuff, and I don't always like that. I don't take it like easily. We can be quite fiery, but he's an incredible man, and you'll be seeing more of him as well as we start our journey. I've got two amazing children, Micah, who is 14, soon to be 15, and Georgia, who is 12, and they are amazing kids. But I just want to say, and I've always said this in any context I've led before, don't expect more of them just because they're mine. Because sometimes they think, oh, it's the pastor's kids, they should behave better. No, just let them be as they are. Let them journey. Let them find their own faith. Let them walk as they do. I mean, don't expect less of them because they're mine. Don't let them get away with stuff that nobody else can get away with. But yeah, amazing children. Love and family. And we have our challenges, but they're great. Food matters to me. Oh, yes, I love food. And just love eating, love the social aspect of eating, particularly chocolate and cake. Any other chocolate and cake lovers in the house? There's not many hands. We might have to do, thanks Becky Pink, saw that hand go up there. We might have to do some work on that, church, because if you're gonna follow me, you've got to be loving the chocolate, buying into the cake. And the more I read about Jesus, the more you realize how much of Jesus' ministry was based around food. People, they would eat together, would go to their house and eat. Somebody would cook for him. So food matters to me, sometimes a little bit too much, and I have to be a little bit careful with that. No, but seriously, what kind of things matter to me, and therefore what's going to be part of what shapes us as we move forward as a church? And I think probably one of the most important things, although there's probably in 5 years' time I'll be saying different important things, but one of the most important things for me, for us as followers of Jesus, is that we know who we are, that we know who we are. Because if our identity, and our identity creates like a really foundational block in our lives, if that's not right, and our identity is not secure and it's not stable, then we become insecure people. We end up playing the comparison game. Well, I'm not as good as she is, but I'm better than he is. Or I wish I was more like that. Or I'm just not measuring up. And when we don't have the right identity, our motives can be all skewed. We do things for the wrong reasons. We do things to be seen to be doing the right thing. And so for me, it's so important that we know who We are. And that has to be first and foremost, that we are children of God. We are children of God. John says in John chapter 1, verse 12, to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. To all who believed Jesus and accepted Jesus as their Lord and as their Savior, God gives the right to become his children. So if you are sat in the room today or listening online and you know you believe in Jesus, you've accepted him not only as your Savior, but you've brought yourself under his lordship, you are a child of God. You're a child of God. Let that sink in for a minute. You are not just somebody who happens to be in Scunthorpe. You're not somebody who just happens to have turned up to New Life. No, you are a child of God. The Apostle Paul says in Romans, all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So if you are a Jesus-loving disciple following him, led by his Spirit, you are a child of God. No matter what other labels get put on you, no matter what other labels you wear, no matter what roles you play, first and foremost, it matters to me that we as a community of believers know I am a child of God, and nothing can change that. Nothing can separate me from him. And if that, church, if that's our foundation, that we know I am a child of God, that gives us security in the storms of life. That holds us when things are going wrong around us. That holds us. Paul again in Galatians says, you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And one of my most favorite verses in 1 John chapter 3 says this: see how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. Now, in a room this size, some of you will have had amazing upbringings with parents, mums and dads who loved you, who invested in you, spoke into you. But equally, in a room this size, there's definitely going to be people, and that's not been the case. And there's a whole heap of psychology that I don't know all of, and I haven't got time to go into today. But there's a whole heap of psychology that when we don't have those good, grounded relationships growing up, it affects us. It affects our identity if we don't have a great relationship with our parents. But we do have the opportunity to know him, Father God, as our Heavenly Father, to know that we are his children. We are called by him, known by him, loved by him. And if we can get that foundational block in our lives, that first and foremost we are children of God, we'll go a long way together. Who are we? We are also set apart. It matters that we understand that we are called to live differently. We are not called to be conformed to the pattern of this world, but we're called to live differently. We're set apart, God's treasured possession, set apart to live in a way that is different to the world. 1 Peter says, you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. If you love Jesus and are following after him, that's who you and I are today, a chosen people, royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. It should matter to you how I live my life. If I'm saying I'm a follower of Jesus and I want to point people to him, it should matter to you how I live, and it should matter to me how you live. We should be people who recognize the foundation of our life, first of all, is I'm a child of God. Nothing can change that. But with that comes responsibility. I've been set apart. The Bible talks about we're in the world, but we don't live the same way the world lives. It matters. One of the things that you'll hear a lot, it matters to me how we live, who we are as we're living. So I want us to know that we are set apart. We're called to live as lifelong followers of Jesus. So it matters to me that we know who we are. It also matters to me that we know what we're here to do. It matters what we do. And we could talk for days and days and days. And I got my son at the back who's like, don't preach for too long. So we won't talk for days and days and days. But one of the things that really matters to me is, and matters to Jesus, is whole life discipleship. Whole life discipleship. So if you were at our big weekend, I don't know what year we had the last one, 23 maybe, 22, 23? Dan will know. If anybody knows dates, it's Dan. you'll know that I talked about how many hours we have in a week. We have 168 hours, all of us, the same number of hours in a week. The average person, now take that with a broad brushstroke, because if you're a new parent in here, yours will be a lot less. But the average person gets to sleep for about 48 hours a week, which means we have left 120 hours of awake time. If I've done my maths right, 120, something like that. Yeah, you have about 120 hours, give or take, a week. Like I say, new parents, you've probably got a shedload more. However, go with me. Of those 120 hours, the average person, again, some of you will be much more, some of you will be much less, but the average person spends around 10 hours a week gathered together as church or doing something of church ministry. So whether that's a small group, a prayer meeting, coming together on a Sunday, the average Christian will spend around 10 hours a week in church-related things, which leaves 110 hours left that you are awake and are not doing church stuff. I'm going to listen to this back and check I got my maths right, but I know I've definitely got the 10 and the 110. So if we think only that those church hours, those 10 hours, they matter, what are we thinking about the other 110 hours? If we see discipleship as, well, it's doing church stuff, it's praising, it's worshiping, it's serving, it's praying, it's reading my Bible, those hours, that's my discipleship hours. Well, then what about the other 110? Does Jesus leave us in those 110 hours? But actually, all of our life is discipleship. All of our life matters to him. Listen to what it says in Romans. Now, this is in the Message version, but it says this. Here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, you're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, you're walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. All of your life matters to God, not just the hours that you are in church, not just the hours that you can wear the badge and saying, I've served in that ministry. No, no, the hours you work, the hours you are shopping, the hours that you are at home watching TV. All of that matters to God. And if we're going to be disciples that truly follow Jesus, it's not a case of compartmentalizing our lives, but actually Jesus is in the center of everything. I remember Pastor Russ did a preach once. He had like a big pillar with tires. Do any of you remember that? With the car tires around it. One said family and one said leisure time. And actually it's not a case of Jesus has to be at the top of everything, but Jesus was through the center and everything else revolved around him. And that's what discipleship is actually, Jesus, you are at the center of all that I do. You are running through everything. It matters what my Monday morning looks like just as much as my Sunday morning. It matters my Friday night just as much as my Sunday morning. So whole life discipleship is important to me. Another thing that's important about what we do is that we are a church and family on mission. So I want us to grow in our understanding that we're church family together. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? So just take a good look at the person next to you and say, I'm really sorry you're stuck with me. Some of you are like, that's my husband next to me. Yeah, I really got to say that. But listen, here's the deal, okay? I was having a chat with somebody this week, and we were talking about family. Families come in all sorts of shapes and sizes. Families always have like a weird uncle or a smelly great aunt or something. We know that. Families are sometimes run smoothly. Families sometimes jar. But listen, when they're your family, you stick with it, yeah? And for me, that is the same with church family. Don't become a church hopper. Don't become somebody who sticks with us while the going's good, and then something upsets you or something happens, or I'm off to find another church. Because let me tell you what will happen. You'll join that church and everything will be great. Because it'll all be new and people will love you and you'll get involved and you'll join a small group and you'll serve. And then something will happen and it'll annoy you and you'll move and go to a different church. And then you'll get to that church and you'll love it because you're new and there's opportunities to get involved and the other churches didn't let you have them opportunities. And then something will happen and you'll get offended and your cycle will, until in 25 years' time, when maybe I'm leaving, you'll be back here, or she's off now, I'm coming back to that church. That's not a prophecy, I'm going to be here for 25 years. Like, scrap that from the tape. I'm not saying that the Lord has spoken. But genuinely, people keep saying, oh, really excited, there's some change. And that's great, but there probably will be some things that happen in church. You'll be like, oh, I don't like the way Pastor Dean has done it. Bring Pastor Russ back. I want to encourage you, family, with church family, we stick together in the good times and the not so good times. We root down, we put our roots down. This is where I'm planted. Now, obviously, caveat that with, you know, if stuff really goes wrong, I understand that. And sometimes God does call us to move on from a church. I understand that. But by and large, if God has put you here, let me encourage you, plant yourself here, root yourself here, because in the good times, you'll be blessed. And in the not so good times, you can be a blessing. We have to recognize we're family together. This is why it's not just about Sunday coming, are you all right, morning, you okay? No, no, it should matter. We should be in deeper relationship than just seeing each other on a Sunday, is what I'm saying. So we are church and family together on mission. It's not just a badge that we wear. Galatians, again, the Apostle Paul says, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. That always struck me as odd, because I would think, well, it should be the people who don't know Jesus, especially to those. But Paul says, no, whenever you have opportunity to do good to anyone, do it, especially to those in the family of faith. So let's be family together. The third thing about mattering to me what we do is that we know that we are here for our community. We should never just be a church that, and New Life isn't this right now, this is not me saying we are, but let us never become a church that are just about ourselves and having a lovely time and, you know, singing songs and praying, and it's all, isn't it just wonderful and it's lovely, and we'll keep doing that till Jesus comes back. No, we've got a world out there, a community, and when I say out there, literally out here, these houses, people who need to know the love of Jesus, people who need to know this sense of family. And my heart is that our church will grow in our outreach, in our influence, in our local community. And that also we will be people who see justice and mercy, that we will speak up for those who don't have a voice, that we will be a voice to the voiceless, that we will look at those people who life has just handed them so many bad hands, and how can we help you with the love of Jesus? How can we help you? Proverbs says, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those being crushed. Speak up for the poor and helpless and see that they get justice. That's on us. We get to do that. What a privilege that we get to do that for our local community. So it matters who we are. It matters that we know what we do. And then finally, it matters that we all know how we do what we do. It matters that we know how we do what we do, because we can do wonderful things and we can be wonderful people, but if we are not doing those things in the right way, they're not as effective. Let me explain. It's been said that culture, the word culture, is the way we do things around here. The way we do things around here. And we've sometimes in the past we've talked about the essence, the smell, the feel of New Life. What is it about New Life that sets us apart as New Life? What is it that when we're doing the loving of people and the serving of people, how should we be doing that? And there's a ton of things that we could say, but some of the things that really matter to me and I think are really important to God are that we do things with generosity. That we are generous with our time, we're generous with our talent, we're generous with our finances, we're generous with our words, that we don't just do just enough, but actually when people think of New Life Church, and when people think of you who are part of New Life Church, the first thing they say, oh, they're really generous. They don't just do enough, but they give over and above. That we do things with excellence, that no matter what we do the best we can with what we have. Excellence isn't about perfection. It's not about having the best. But with what we have, we do the best with what we've got. Enthusiasm. You'll know that if you see me on the front, I'm a very enthusiastic worshiper. In fact, I was laughing with somebody. When I try something new on in a changing rooms, I have to put my arms up. Can I praise in this? Or is Jesus going to be restricted today because it's a bit tight on my arms? I'm a very enthusiastic person because my philosophy is if we're going to do it, let's go all in and do it well. Do you know, let's not just be, oh, Marvelous. Isn't Jesus wonderful? No, come on. Whatever we're going to do, let's do it well. And maybe you're an introvert, and that's okay. Introverts can be enthusiastic. You can be enthusiastic, aren't you, sweet? In his own way. Let's do things, and don't hear, let's just backtrack a bit. I'm not saying enthusiasm is shown because you worship your arms raised. That's just how I do it. But the wider concept of enthusiasm, if we're going to do things, let's do it well. Let's give our all. Let's not be half-hearted, good enough, well, it'll do. Let's never have a that'll do attitude. As a church family, let's go all in for Jesus, all in whatever we're doing with enthusiasm. Kindness and hospitality, it matters. It matters how we speak to each other. It matters how we speak in our world. There is such a lack of basic, decent kindness in our world. And if we are the children of God, we should be the kindest people. If we are people who are saying, Jesus, you cut me open and you'll see Jesus, if that's what we're really saying, then our words, our attitude should be dripping with kindness, dripping with hospitality, dripping with welcome, dripping with a you first attitude, dripping with no you go. What sets us apart? Those kind of things sets us apart. Yes, we want people to come here. Of course, we want people to encounter Jesus in our worship through prayer. Of course, but people can encounter Jesus through you, through how you act. When everybody else is getting cross and stressed, and inside you might well agree with what they're, you can see why they're getting cross. Live differently. Be a peacemaker. Bring peace in situations where it's angst and stress and cross and, yeah. Let's be people who are fully present, fully committed to what God has called us to do. We've got bright days ahead of us, church. I absolutely believe that. We've got things that a journey that God will take us on that we can't even imagine now. There'll be things that we look back on in 5 years and 10 years. Can you remember when? Can you remember when we had so many people? We had to like go to double services. Again, I'm not prophesying, but you never know where God's going to take us. Can you remember when we opened up and the community came in? Can you remember when we had a baptism and they just kept going? That can be our journey, but it has to start with knowing who we are. Children of God, first and foremost, that is who we are. We are set apart, called to live differently. In whatever context you find yourself in, you are called to be set apart. Russ said when he preached that the song that we sing doesn't change. The song is Jesus-centered, community-focused. That song doesn't change. There might be a key change. There's going to be some things that look different and feel different, but that song with Jesus at the center doesn't change. And so my encouragement to you is know who you are. It matters that we know who we are. It matters that we know what we're called to do, to be whole life disciples, to be a church family on mission, to love and serve our community. And it matters how we do those things. It matters the culture, the way that we embrace those things. And my plea to you is, let's go on this adventure together. Let's eat lots as we go. Let's enjoy each other's company. Let's keep Jesus at the center, and let's have an adventure together. Amen? Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from New Life in North Lincolnshire. To find out more, do visit us online at newlifechurch.uk, or why not pay us a visit? We'd love to see you.